You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another week here at Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball. I am your host, as always, Tommy Stokey. I'm taking a break from watching 21, learning how to get rich on blackjack, if you can still do that. And let's talk some baseball. It's Monday, which means my power rankings. And again, if this is your first time checking them out, or just a refresher, my power rankings are not the 10 best teams in baseball. They are the 10 teams that had the best week in baseball. So look at the last, Monday through Sunday, who had the best weeks, 10 to number one. So last week the Angels were on top. This week they're not on top, although they were undefeated. Someone else took that spot this time, but the Angels still off to a good start, which is a chance to plug Locked On Angels over there, hosted by Patrick Zajac, doing a really good job. So check that out. We're growing our network as a whole. We're up to, I believe, 10 podcasts. Most recently, adding the Braves, the Cardinals, and the Blue Jays. So be sure to check out our entire network, and we are going to keep adding there. But our three segments today are going to be the power rankings. We'll do those third. We'll do the power rankings second. We'll do the quick segment number one on what the two big stories of the weekend were, kind of combine them into one segment. I think the two big stories of this weekend was, one, Bartolo Colon and what he just did on Sunday Night Baseball, and two, the weather and the scheduling and what can be done. As we've seen, we saw six games canceled on Sunday. It's a problem for baseball. Is there anything that we can do about it? Let's check that out in segment one. And then segment three, kind of becoming a normal thing here on Mondays also, is looking at which team has the most important week ahead. Last week I said it was the Milwaukee Brewers. They went 3-3, starting out well with 2 out of 3 over the Cardinals, ended up dropping 2 out of 3 against the Mets, but 3-3 against those two teams, not too bad. But those will be what we talk about today here on Locked On MLB. Let's start with the two big stories of the weekend. Number one, Bartolo Colon. He is, I believe, 45 years old, and he was taking on the best offense in baseball, or what everybody assumes is the best offense in baseball, at least on paper, in the Houston Astros, and held them scoreless, hitless, nobody on base through the first inning, second inning, third inning, fourth inning, fifth inning. It's like, okay, this can't keep going, right? Like, this is the Astros we're talking about. And then by the fifth or sixth inning, everybody on Twitter's like, we better get to, turn off the NBA playoffs and let's go see what Bartolo's doing. And the crazy thing is, the way that he was doing it is something that all pitchers can learn from, and obviously it's not that easy, but he was getting ahead of all of these hitters. I want to say the first 14 batters, he started out 0-1 with a first pitch strike. He was getting ahead of these guys 0-2. At 45 in his third or fourth start of the year against the Astros in Houston, takes a no-hitter, a perfect game into the eighth. And then he walks a batter, and that's the first sign of command. I think it was a full count to Carlos Correa. Walks him. Next batter, Josh Reddick, kind of hangs a slider, gives up a single, ends up giving up a run. But seven innings, perfect hit, makes it to the eighth. Before giving up the perfect game, and no-hitter. One of the just a great performance, and as we're so divided here, it's nice that we have Bartolo Colon that can unite everybody, all rooting for the same thing, and that was for him to finish that off. But it's just kind of, I don't know what to expect from Bartolo going forward. I know that he was terrible last year, whether it was in his 63 innings with the Braves when he finished with a 8.14 ERA, walking 20, striking out 42. I don't know, he wasn't any better in wasn't much better in Minnesota. 5.18 ERA in 15 starts. So combined in 2017, 28 starts, 143 innings, 6.48 ERA. 5.21 FIP, 1.5 WHIP. I mean, there's just nothing good about that. And that was coming off a season in 2016 when he was an all-star at 43 with the Mets. 15-8 with a 3.43 ERA, 191 innings. The Braves brought him in hoping that he could eat innings, and I think that's what Texas is hoping for. If he can eat innings and be serviceable for as long as he can be that, he'll have a job there, and maybe he'll have, you know, who knows how much longer this can go. But he was a good example on Sunday of what you need to do to make it in this league. Movement on all of his pitches. He located everything well. I mean, he was painting. I will say the home plate umpire had, I don't want to say a wide strike zone, but a bit of a, he was given a lot of the corners. And honestly, I kind of like a strike zone like that. I mean, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people point to, that, hey, if you want to speed up the game, let's look at the strike zone and getting it back to what it should be. And if you call more strikes, hitters will be more aggressive and the games will move quicker. So that was a positive. We mentioned before the way that he was getting ahead of hitters. Just, you know, what a performance. The way that he was during the game, I mean, they were showing him in the dugout before he went out for the eighth, and he's talking, he's high-fiving, he's throwing the ball up in the air. I mean, just, there was no moment there. There was no pitch count that was going to get in the way. It was just, Josh Reddick hit a slider. And so, it was a fun night. I'm glad that, you know, I don't know how much he has left, but nights like Sunday show that anything was possible, and I'm glad that it was on Sunday Night Baseball for everyone to see. I'm glad it was against an offense like the Astros. I mean, Matt Vasgersian brought up a good point where sometimes you see outings like this late in the year, and they're a little tainted in the sense that, you know, teams aren't trying. They're putting out these minor leaguers because they've got 40 guys up, you know, whatever. This was the Astros' best lineup, and really impressive. And then real quick on the scheduling thing, and with the 6 cancellations, 22 so far, what can be done? I don't have that answer. I know that a lot of people suggest doubleheaders. I think that could be an issue with how long games are now. It's a good idea in theory, but with games being 3 hours, 3:15, whatever they are, I mean, you have to get kind of lucky and hope for a 2.5 hour, 2:45 game for that to really work. You know, I don't know if you can divide it up schedule-wise. You know, I follow Chip Carey, the Braves broadcaster, on Twitter, and he's been pretty vocal about the scheduling component and how there's a way to be done. I don't know. But I think baseball should look into it, because it's not the worst thing that's ever happened. Maybe it isn't priority number one, but having all these cancellations and stuff, you know, and the solution isn't, why don't these places have roofs or retractable roofs? Because that just means more money and more taxpayer money. I think I heard the number, and I don't want you to take this as being 100%, but it's somewhere around like $300-500 million extra dollars that it would have cost the Braves to put a roof on SunTrust Park. And that's taxpayer money, and so that's a big reason why something like that didn't happen. So it's not just as easy as saying, why did Minnesota build a stadium without a roof? And some would say that's because for the first 3 weeks it sucks and the rest of the year is beautiful, you know, whatever. But that's something that maybe baseball should look into, because a week like this you don't want again. All right, let's get to our power rankings. We'll start with number 10, the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah, they lost. 10 was tough this week. Who did I have? I was thinking of St. Louis is number 10, and I left off the Indians. The Indians were right there, but really all they did was sweep the Tigers. I had said last week that the best medicine for an Indians team looking to get in a groove would be a series with the Tigers. They took care of business, but the Cardinals lose 2 out of 3 to Milwaukee, but then they sweep the Reds, and yeah, that's not the most impressive thing ever, but it was on the road, division opponent. take care of business where you have to. That way you can afford to lose 2 out of 3 to the Brewers. You can lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs as long as you're beating the teams you're supposed to be. Big start from Carlos Martinez on Sunday. Tommy Pham, Jose Martinez both had really good weeks, so a good week for the Cardinals. Number 9, Seattle Mariners. Felix Hernandez dealt on Sunday. It was a loss, but they did go 4-2, winning series against the Royals, winning a series against Oakland this weekend. Dan Vogelbach hit a ball. I'm not sure that it has landed yet. That's good to see from him. I think he hit 2 this week as he fills in and gets more playing time with Ryan Healy on the DL. Although I'm interested to see what happens with Ichiro. That's going to be a story worth following. I think a lot of Mariners fans are at the point where it's like, look, once Ben Gamble's healthy, you have to DFA Ichiro. We understand how great he's been. We still know how great he's been, but he's not great right now. There might be some segment of the fans that don't want to see him go or see him designated for assignment and go out that way. But this is a team that wants to win, and Ben Gamble is obviously better. And so at some point they're going to just have to make that move, especially if Ichiro isn't performing, which is the case right now. Number 8, the San Diego Padres won 5 games this week, going 5-2. They won 3 out of 4 against San Francisco this weekend. They took 2 out of 3 against Colorado earlier in the week. I mean, that's big. Those are two division opponents. They have kind of a breakout star here, and I hope I say his name right, and Joey Lucchese. I'll work on that if I said that wrong, but everybody's probably picking him up in fantasy if they haven't already. But the Padres, 5-2, they are now 7-10 on the year. Have won 6 out of the last 4, 3 in a row. Good week for them. Eric Hosmer, I think he sat out the last 2 games too, but he should be healthy going into this week. Number 7, another National League team, Pittsburgh Pirates, take care of business against Miami, winning 2 out of 3. They won 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, finishing 4-2 on the week. They are 11-4 on the season, winners of 7 out of their last 10. They could be for real. I mean, we talked with Jason Rollison this last week of Locked On Pirates. Go back and find that podcast. We talked about him and why with him. About why he thinks that this is sustainable. And they certainly showed, or kept it going at least for another week. Pittsburgh Pirates, number 7. Number 6, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I said on Twitter on Saturday that I think they're the best. They have the most impressive overall start so far. The Diamondbacks are 11-4 after losing to Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers on Sunday. But I think when you look at who they've beaten, how they've done it, and who they're missing in Paul Goldschmidt, Jake Lamb, Steven Souza, Robbie Ray, Zach Greinke haven't been very good. I think they're overall the most impressive start. But this week, and even as good as this week was, 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, 2 out of 3 against the Giants, they've won every series so far. I had to move them a little bit down just because injury to Taijuan Walker, forearm tightness, he said it wasn't serious. I think every pitcher says that afterwards, trying to be optimistic. So we'll see what happens there. They did put him on the DL. My guess is that either they go with TJ McFarland in that starter spot and kind of treat it as a bit of a bullpen game, or Braden Shipley, I guess, makes the most sense as somebody they call up. He's already on the 40-man. He was that guy. He got a look last year. The other guy that got a look last year in that role when Shelby Miller went down is Zach Godley. And then another reason why I'm moving them down a little bit is because Zach Godley was hit around a little bit on Sunday. I think he had 6 walks. So Walker hurt. Not a good outing from Godley there after he had been really good. So overall in the season, most impressive. But this week, still number 6. Number 5, the Minnesota Twins. Short week for them because of all the snow and weather. But they won 2 out of 3 against the Astros. And I think that's important to win at home against the defending World Series champions. If you're Minnesota and you want to prove that we were no fluke last year, we're in it to compete again, winning 2 out of 3 at home. One of the players, I don't know who it was, said, hey, we expect to beat everybody. And so that's a good way to show it. The Twins are 7-4 and in first place in the AL Central. for more on the Twins, another plug opportunity. Brandon Warren doing a really good job over at LockedOnTwins.com. Number four, the New York Mets. The Mets went 5-1 this week. They are up to 12-2 on the year, winners of 9 of the last 10. They swept the Marlins, and they took 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. And I think beating the Marlins is important because coming off the week that they did, were some, you know, a really good start for a team that I think is surprising some in a way. I'm not totally surprised because they're beating up on some bad teams, but not going to Miami on the road and having that be a letdown spot. Taking care of business, being the team you're supposed to be, and then taking care of business. 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. Overall, good week. They did lose Travis d'Arnaud. They did lose Kevin Plawecki, both catchers on the DL. So that hurts them a little bit this week. That's why they didn't have maybe a better week. But 5-1 and 12-2 on the year. Good start for the Mets, obviously. Number three, the Boston Red Sox. Well, another one of these teams that are off to a fast start at 13-2. They went 5-1 on the week, sweeping the Orioles, I believe, and taking 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. Obviously, they had that big brawl. I don't really want to talk about that anymore. They're not number two just because David Price had to leave his start early. Anytime, I know he's going to make his next scheduled start, but anytime he leaves with an injury, it's a concern. And then the two teams above the Red Sox are both went undefeated last week. So Red Sox off to a 13-2 start. Got a 3.5-game lead over Toronto here early. I believe, yeah, they take on the Angels this week. So big showdown there. And the Angels are number two on our list for the best week last week. 6-0. They did it without Ohtani, and I think that was a little bit of a bummer where he missed out on pitching against the Royals, but also, I don't know that we would have wanted to see him pitching in 11-degree weather. They beat the Rangers and the Royals, so not the most impressive 6 wins that they're going to have this year. But Mike Trout is hitting. They got a good start from Nick Tropiano this week. If he can be some starting rotation depth, and he's shown in the past that he can, as he bounces back from Tommy John surgery here, that's an important piece. So Ohtani, we'll see if he gets 2 starts next week. He's going to start against the Red Sox, which is kind of not bad news for him. But, man, going from facing the Royals to now you have to go face the Red Sox. It'll be nicer weather in L.A., but I think I'd rather want to face that Royals offense. We could have been on no-hitter watch again. And number one, crazy how far we've come with this team, the Philadelphia Phillies. They went 6-0. It was only the Reds and only the Rays, but when you're the Phillies and you are a team that wants to overachieve or wants to get there a year early, those are the games that you have to win. And for a team like the Phillies, where the story of the first week of the season was Gabe Kapler and what he was doing wrong and how's this going to work and they're going to fire him this early, I mean, Philly fans just were going nuts. And so to go 6-0, take care of those teams, Aaron Nola, Nick Pivetta, Vince Velasquez, Jake Arrieta all pitched well. J.P. Crawford, Nick Williams, Scott Kingery had big weeks. I mean, they're getting contributions from everywhere. And so, again, I don't want to overstate wins against the Rays and the Reds, who are combined. Let's see, the Rays have 3 wins on the year, and the Reds have 2. So a combined 5-25. But if the Phillies are going to make a push for that wild card, that's what they have to do. And even more impressive than just the wins, those individual performances getting them there. So that is our power rankings. Phillies take the top spot. I'm not sure that I thought I was going to say that. All right, let's wrap this up here with biggest week ahead. Last week, as we said, biggest week ahead was going to be the Brewers. They went 3-3. They didn't make our top 10, but not too bad. This week, I think, is a pretty easy one, and it's the Washington Nationals. The Nationals enter this week, coming into Monday, at 7-9. They've only won 3 of their last 10. They're 4 games back of the Mets, and they're going to face those Mets on the road to start the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're going to do it with the bottom half of their rotation with Cole, Gonzalez, and Roark. And then they have an off day and they go to L.A. So then you're going to travel across the country and take on the Dodgers. The good news is you're going to start Scherzer, Strasburg in games one and two of that series. And the Dodgers are going to come back with Hill and Kershaw. The Nationals are going to face DeGrom, Wheeler, and Mats. Those three games against the Mets. So I think this is an important week for them. A, facing the Mets. You don't want to get too far behind. I know everybody wants to say it's only April 16th. Yeah, but these are the games that you have to win because you want to keep them close. And then the Dodgers. The Dodgers, another National League team where if you can help bury them a little bit, that's good. That's good for when you're looking in September and if they're, you know, if they're in a wild card spot because of games that you won early in the year. I mean, that's a realistic possibility, especially with the way that Arizona's playing and the way that could go. But overall, just the Nationals, they have to get something going here, and they'll get Daniel Murphy back eventually, maybe a couple weeks, but a week or two. I don't know his exact situation, but they clearly could use his bat in there. They're riding Strasburg and Scherzer so far, but the bottom half against the Mets, it's going to be a big three games. As I look up the schedule, Seattle's got four against Houston, three Texas, so that's a big divisional week for Seattle as they try to make a move. Where's Seattle at right now? Seattle 8-5 on the year. Pittsburgh, Colorado, and Philadelphia, they should keep that going against teams that should be beatable. Four at Philadelphia to end the week. Philadelphia opens the week in Atlanta. Doesn't sound like we're going to see Ronald Acuna because he's not hitting well in AAA, and Preston Tucker is hitting well up here, and that's another discussion for another day. Maybe we'll touch on that this week. Let's see what else. The Mets, four games in Atlanta, divisional opponent there. Atlanta 8-6. Atlanta could have made my top 10, but man, that crazy game this weekend where they just blew it against the Cubs in that terrible weather, losing 14-10. I think it was a 9 spot in the 8th that they gave up. Overall, decent road trip, could have been better. I mark them down a little bit for that. Then the Cubs, Cardinals, and then they head out west at Colorado. The Diamondbacks have the Giants and the Padres. Who else? The Indians, Twins, Baltimore. Baltimore not very good, so you like seeing them on your schedule. Angels have Boston, so that'll be a big one. I don't think it's not as important as the Nationals against the Mets and the Dodgers, but that'll be probably the most fun series this week, definitely on the American League side, seeing the Angels and the Red Sox. So I'll do it for the Monday edition of Locked On MLB. You can follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy. You can follow us at Locked On MLB and check us out on LockedOnMLB.com. We are on iTunes, we are on Spotify now, and we are on Google Play.